Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Golden Goal Podcast. It's Javi and Lee here. It is September 28th. It is a Monday evening. The last batch of Premier League games have finished today, so we are doing the pod today on a Monday so that you folks can enjoy your Tuesday mornings at work, home, while you're shitting, or wherever you guys are at. So, Lee, how we doing?
Good. It was a good weekend of football, outside of the city dreadful loss, which we'll get into. But it's almost spooky season. October's right around the corner, which is crazy to think about. But I'm just excited. We're not gonna go through all of the games today. We're gonna hit the main ones from the Prem, and then we wanted to touch on Bundesliga, Serie A, and La Liga as well, as they are all in gear now. And let me tell you, Hav, I have some extra touches for the ages that I've told you already.
Yep.
I tweeted it out to the fans as well, so they have something to look forward to. And I'm excited to get into those later. So whether you guys hate hearing us talk and you want to skip to the end to hear that shit, skip to the end if you want. If not, tune in and stay around till the end.
Hell yeah, man! All right, beast. What do you want to start with? You just want to go with an order?
Yeah, we'll go in order. Okay. We'll hit the main ones. United wild finish against Brighton.
Yeah, man.
I don't know how much of that game you got to see. I did not do shit on Saturday, for one. I got to literally watch every single game, from the early one all the way through, actually, Southampton and Burnley as well. Watched Southampton and Burnley as well.
Goddamn. I'm gonna be honest here. I actually didn't wake up for the Man U game. And I'll tell you let me give you my reasoning real quick. As a United fan, watching how shite we've been at transfers the past, I'll give it to them. Last year was pretty solid, but kind of how slow we've been in dealing with the transfers, and kind of we talked about this last week. I don't want to get into it, but how the board kind of just don't seem that they have any ambition or care about the fans. They kind of just want to make more money, whatever can get them the most money. So I decided that if it's inconvenient for me to wake up early in the morning to watch the game, I will not, because since the board does not care about the fans, I don't give a shit either. So sounds kind of harsh, but I'm not gonna go out of my way to watch them play, because as a fan now, you just get fed up a little bit when like the board and the owners seem like they don't really give a shit. So that's my reasoning. Anyways, I'll still watch games, just not, I'm not gonna get up early for Man U games.
Fair enough.
But I watched the highlights though.
Yeah.
And
absolutely bonkers ending to it.
I woke up right at the end. Right at the end of the game, and I saw my phone 2-2, and I was like, here we go again. I was like, holy shit, we're gonna tie Brighton. And then I tuned in at the very end, and I actually tuned in right when they took Bruno was about to take the PK. So again, VAR saves United from penalties. Yeah, VAR and penalties save Man United from dropping 2 points. Fair enough, though. It was a handball, I think, though. It was a handball.
Yeah, it was a handball. My thoughts on the game overall, outside of the VAR, which VAR had a rough weekend this weekend.
We'll get into
a couple other instances as well, but. United win the game somehow. They get a lot of luck, obviously. But if I'm a United fan, sure. I mean, I see people on Twitter, United fans on Twitter, saying, "Oh, it's good to see they didn't give up after they allowed the tying goal and all this." But the way I view it is, if you're a United fan, you should. I mean, yes, they won the game, but you should not be happy. They didn't create much.
Brighton
hit the post, I think, 4 or 5 fucking times.
Yeah.
United probably should have been down 2 or 3 goals. Mm-hmm. They were outpossessed, outshot, outchanced, mm-hmm. if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, 5 times they hit the post, and Brighton just looked like the more dangerous team in attack. And it was weird to see United, up a goal 2-1, whether they should have been or not is besides the point. Packing it in against Brighton Hove Albion.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that strategy when they go up and it's a tight game, that they just kind of sit back And so go the let's
I guess
be,
a team like Brighton.
Well, let's be also be honest. Many United aren't even that good defensively to do that. Let's
right.
be honest. They're pretty shit at defense. I mean, they're giving up 5 goals in 2 games. They gave up 3 against Crystal Palace, 2 against Brighton, 5 goals in 2 games.
That's which could have easily have been
more. So they're pretty shit. Maguire doesn't look at all like the type of player that we thought he would be in terms of dominance in the air. You know, I think he's only scored like one header or one or two. And look how fucking tall. Like I don't think he really has a big presence, even though he's really fucking tall. You know, like he doesn't really make himself bigger in the box. Like I don't know what it is. Like I don't know if he doesn't get good service, but you know, when you're that fucking big, like you should be getting some more header goals than he has.
Being more dangerous in the box and on both sides of the ball, mm-hmm. offensively and defensively. The biggest disappointments for me, if I'm a United fan, Pogba again.
Yeah, Pogba was ass.
Pogba looked like he was just going through the motions once again out there. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole again of getting into, you know, his lack of effort and all that stuff because we've already mentioned it. But once again, has to be said, he was shit again. He's out, taken off in the 65th. Probably could have even been taken off at halftime.
Yeah, yeah. He was bad.
I thought Juan Bissaka, who I thought was great last year.
He looked pretty.
He was pretty bad as well. And I was on I have him on my fantasy team. I was like, he's going to be a guaranteed starter. And then Fosu Mensah started last game. And I'm like, Juan Bissaka had a great year last year. But then he comes in, he gives a performance like this. And now it's like, oh, I can maybe understand why he didn't start the first
game.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean,
some of those players just really need to look at themselves in the mirror and be like, I gotta play better, you know, because there's no reason why Wan-Bissaka shouldn't be playing better than he is right now. There's no reason why Pogba should be playing as shitty as he is right now.
He has all the pieces around him now.
And I don't know. I know he had COVID or something like that, so I don't know how he is like match fitness. But and regardless if he's fit or not, like in terms of ability, he should be doing better. So whenever they play next, I think it's against Tottenham in the league. I don't know if he'll play in the Carabao Cup or not, but this week. But he's gonna, specifically, Pogba's gonna have a big game, third game. Like he really needs to turn it around because there's no excuse anymore, and it's actually kind of scary if United want to sell him because it seems like you know if I'm other teams now and I'm looking how he's playing right now, his like resale value is probably not that good anymore.
Yeah, and Martial was kind of non-existent as well
quiet.
This game. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for Bruno and Rashford, I don't know where this team would be.
Yeah.
They combined on their on the goal by
Rashford. Rashford should have probably had another. He got one disallowed for being offsides, I think.
Yeah, and you could just see the chemistry between the two of them. And on the goal that did count for him, it was just a thing of beauty. And it was something that Bruno basically created out of nothing. And like I said, if they aren't on their game, I don't know, or they're not in the side. I don't know where this United team is, especially with Pogba being, you know, non-existent, Martial being non-existent.
I mean, I don't know what it is, to be honest. It's just kind of hard to pinpoint because there's, like, no excuse anymore, right? Like, they have a good starting 11 now, you know?
I think after the loss to Palace game week one,
they probably lost a little bit of confidence.
I think everyone knew seeing Brighton as the next team up and seeing Brighton play in their first two matches that it wasn't going to be an easy game. Mm-hmm. But to get outpossessed and outshot and basically just dominated by Brighton and then being lucky to, against all odds, squeak out a result, there's really not a lot to be happy about if I'm a United fan about this game. A lot of luck involved.
I mean, the only good thing is that they got the 3 points. I mean, that's really the only thing.
Yeah, and Spurs is not going to be an easy game. And then who do they have after that? Let's see. Spurs and then Newcastle away and then Chelsea and then Arsenal and then Everton, bro.
So they got the only thing I can say is, when you go to training, you guys better be on it. I mean, that's really, like, there's nothing. The ability is there. It's just more, you got to get your big boy pants on and you gotta pick it up. I mean, I don't really know what else to say, right? I mean,
It's certainly not getting any easier.
There's no excuse. They just gotta. I don't know if they need to have like a team bonding sesh, or they need to do something and, you know, fucking get everyone on the same page here, because the season started now. I mean, we're not on vacation anymore, and it seems like they're kind of like has a hangover from. It seems like United have a, and actually a lot of teams that made it far in Europe, a lot of these, it seems like they have like a hangover right now, right? From getting far into these cups or European cups and stuff like that. So, but
well, what I do think is a fair thing to say and get it out at the beginning of the season, and this is such an anomaly year with all the COVID stuff, you know, the off season, so to speak, was so short.
Yeah,
because of how far the season got, last season got pushed back. So I can understand how players individually and teams as a group can be off their game in these early stages, because their preseason is not like it was.
That's true.
It's not, they're not used to this preseason that they probably had this year was probably, what, 2 weeks? Usually they get, what, 10? Even then, we have guys like Jose Mourinho saying 10 weeks isn't enough to prepare my team to get them to play the way I want and this and that. And now this year, they probably had
They played like one
two to four weeks probably to prepare. So I can understand, and this can go for any team, not even just United, how they still need time to piece things together. But should they be getting dominated by Brighton?
Probably
Absolutely
not.
So or Crystal Palace for that matter.
So. They got to figure it out. I mean, some hard games coming up. And the only thing is, look, I mean, don't dwell on these games too much. I mean, they got the 3 points here, which is important. But there's a lot to figure out still. And, you know, it's not going to get any easier going forward for them.
Yep, absolutely. So another wild game. The next one we'll get into, West Brom, Chelsea.
I'm so mad. I'm so mad that West Brom, I thought they were going to get.
They were basically gifted 3 points.
And they fucking blew it.
But Chelsea another team that is still figuring things out.
They looked, but it's even worse for Chelsea because of how much money they spent this summer.
It is, yes.
And but I told, but we talked about it on the pod though. Sorry, I keep on cutting you in, but we talked about it on the pod, and I even told you, Lee. I said I don't know how this Chelsea team is going to look with so many new faces in the team, and it's starting. It's kind of showing right now. You know, like they came back and tied it 3-3, but that first half, man, that first half was awful. Thiago Silva.
The dude looks like he needs a walker.
He looked so unathletic. He looks so, and I don't know. I mean, he's 36, right? So
yeah,
and
it's literally so much, just turned 36
and
last week.
And this is against West Brom. Like, imagine against like Liverpool, you know, against like an Everton, you know, or it's like the players are a lot, like the quality of players up front is a lot better than West Brom. I mean, he looked awful, and that Chelsea defense looks awful also. Alonso. He's not in.
Marcos Alonso is one of the worst defenders.
He's not in a back four.
Don't get me wrong. The dude can whip in a great ball. He can hit a good free kick. He's decent in the attack, but defensively, he's one of the worst defenders in the league, in my opinion.
I think he fits well in a back five. To be honest, he doesn't fit well in a back four.
He's got no pace.
No.
So there was actually a play in this game. The center back for West Brom, his name is Semi Ajayi.
Mm-hmm.
He caught Marcos Alonso out on the break and on a counter. And do you remember long ago when Gareth Bale kicked that ball past Bartra and ran around him?
Oh yeah, against Barcelona. Yeah.
So this guy for West Brom did this to Alonso during this, like,
fucking,
early in the game.
He smoked his ass.
And he dusted him. And Alonso had about a 5 to 7 yard head start on this guy, and he dusted him. And this is a center back, too. This isn't like little wingers that West Brom has. This is a center back.
He's slow.
He is slow as hell. Defensive liability. He looked terrible on almost every goal. They pulled him at half, so I wasn't the only one seeing it, obviously.
Yeah.
But fucking West Brom, man. I mean, they gave us further ammunition as to why they're going to be in the relegation battle all year. I mean, they were basically gifted 3 points, and they found a way to throw it away. But to your point with Chelsea, they had Timo Werner playing out on the left. He's not a winger, at least not with this Chelsea system. Maybe for the national team they could make it work for Germany.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was always the man up front for Leipzig.
Mm-hmm.
And Tammy Abraham, yeah, he was good at the beginning of last year, but You brought this guy in to play striker. Play him at striker.
Yeah.
And I think missing Pulisic really hurts them, because he would have Timo Werner would never be in that position if Pulisic was healthy. Havertz looked a little bit better, especially in the second half. I don't know what happened to N'Golo Kante, man.
Yeah, he looks like
N'Golo Kante used to just be a force in midfield.
I think he's losing a little bit of his sauce, to be honest.
I don't know if it's the players around him or what it is, but he's a shell of himself,
mm-hmm.
of what he used to be. But we talked about last episode, Lampard pressure. You know, he's going to be under pressure this year. He got the signed players. He actually has a team to work with that, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't just inherit them. He brought in players.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be under pressure this year. And if he can't get things together, you know, he's going to be on the hot seat before he knows it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit, but he needs to be aware that not everyone has given a very long leash at Chelsea.
And you can't spend that much money and expect to be given a lot of time. Let's be honest,
right,
man. So, I don't know with Chelsea. It's going to be interesting. What do you think of Kai Havertz so far?
I thought he was very underwhelming in the first game. I thought he had a lot of good flashes in this game. I think
it's a lot of new faces, bro, all at once.
League.
I just think that's what it comes down to. I just think it's too many goddamn faces that they brought in, and to like mix all of them together in this short amount of time, especially this COVID break that we had, or the COVID preseason that we had. It's just, man. I mean, not to say that they're going to do bad. I think they're going to be able to pull results against like small teams. But, you know, I think a lot of people were kind of saying they're going to challenge for the title. I don't think so. I don't think so, Lee.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's early to say a lot of things.
I mean, that defense ass.
Yeah, that defense
is ass.
And now I think it's already shown that Thiago Silva is not going to be the Band-Aid that fixes anything. The guy is too old, 36 years
unathletic.
Old. Unathletic. I mean, I'm not even trying to single out his giveaway that led to the one goal. He just has no mobility to keep up with some of the players in this league.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
We've been talking about it. The perfect center back is like Van Dijk. Athletic, strong.
Athletic, can move. Is not old. I mean, Thiago Silva is not going to help. Is not going to solve Chelsea's defensive problems. Maybe he could solve a mid-table to lower table team's defensive problems even at his age.
Yeah.
But not a team like Chelsea who's trying to make that jump, mm-hmm. from where they were last year, which I was very impressed with them last year with having not brought in any players.
Yeah. But it's like they got worse.
I mean, they very well could. They very well could. I mean, only time will tell in the league and everything, but to take the next step, I do not think Thiago Silva was the guy to bring in.
No, and I think
back.
And be honest, I think instead of spending so much money like on forwards and on tech, they probably should have spent on a really good center back that could have helped them out, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think they spent a little bit too much money. This personally, obviously, I mean, everyone has their own opinion. I just think they spent maybe one or two players too much up front, where they could have used that money to buy maybe a world-class defender, like a Koulibaly type player.
Yeah, and then, of course, the day after the game or the day before the game against West Brom, they did announce that the new goalkeeper would be here. So that's a done deal. I think they're really missing Chilwell. I think not having him healthy and having to play Alonso at left back is a huge hole in their system, because Chilwell, I like Chilwell a lot. I wish City would have pursued him a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a very good two-way fullback. And he's not slow as fuck like Marcos Alonso is.
Yeah.
But, Chelsea is definitely still trying to find themselves. West Brom, I mean, if you can't win a game that's basically gifted to you,
you're fucked.
You're going to be fucked the rest of the season, man.
Yeah.
And I talked about it last week. The last thing I'll say about the game, they are going to give up a lot of goals. Simple as that. I was amazed they scored three, even though they were gifted to them.
Yeah.
But anyway. 3-3 in that one. Thrilling game. Been a lot of goals so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has partially to do with the short preseason as well.
The defense.
But another game with a lot of goals.
Mm-hmm.
City lose to Leicester 5-2. Yesterday, they gave away 3 fucking penalty kicks, which I don't remember the last time I heard of a game there where there were 3 penalty kicks that did not include a penalty shootout. But abysmal at the back from City. I'm going to give my quick 2-minute gripe on this. I try to keep it short. I knew this was a trap game for them going in. I knew there's a very good chance they're going to lose this game with the amount of people they had out. No Laporte, no Bernardo Silva, no Gundogan, neither striker in the squad. That being said, good enough team still with all the depth that they have to, you know, pull out a tie or something. But Leicester, good team, pacey team. We'll hit them on the break. City have never known how to defend on the break. And I don't know what to think about Ake yet. He's kind of in my, I mean, even though he's not old like Thiago Silva, he's kind of like a Band-Aid for City at the back. For what it seems like so far, I thought he did fine in the first game, but it was against Wolves, which I thought the team overall, especially in the midfield to the front line, played better against Wolves than they did in this game. And Wolves didn't threaten nearly as much as Leicester did on the break.
Mendy's ass.
Mendy's still ass. Kyle Walker, who I actually thought had a very good year in the league last year, a stupid penalty. Jamie Vardy always kicks the shit out of us. He scores a fucking hat trick. Fernandinho, I thought, was ass in the first half. I think he's over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
He's like 35 years old now. The injuries are hurting them.
Yeah.
And tough start to the season with in terms of the schedule. Wolves, Leicester, they get Leeds now, who we know is not going to be a pushover. But it's their Achilles heel, the back line. And I don't care how much possession this team keeps with Pep's style of play. I don't know how much or how little he focuses on defending and training, but clearly they need to focus on it more.
Yeah.
Or they need to bring in an assistant coach who specializes in defensive shape and defending on the break and what have you, because it's been 3 years now, and they have not addressed their issues at the back enough. And now, of course, they have this Ruben Dias guy who's supposedly going to come in the next day or so, according to good old Fabrizio Romano. He's a young kid from Benfica, and they finally are getting Rita Otamendi.
He's going the other way.
But and I don't watch the Portuguese league. This guy could be great. This guy could be another Ake. I have no idea. But I mean, we've gone through Stones, Ake. Laporte has been great, I think. Mendy. It sucks that João Cancelo is not healthy. I think he actually got the virus. Because I would have slotted him on the left side.
Instead of Mendy,
Instead of Mendy. But Mendy has shown time and time again he's a liability defensively. Yet we keep giving him chances.
I think it's time for you guys to sell him, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's, you know, just bite your tongue, say, yeah, we messed this one up, and let him go.
Yeah.
Because he is not it.
Yeah.
And who's to say that we absolutely need 2 offensive-minded wingbacks? We don't. We can go one or the other.
Yeah.
Right. João Cancelo and Kyle Walker are still both offensive right backs.
Yeah, yeah.
João Cancelo can also play on the left, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Mendy, he's a liability defensively.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, I actually kind of like Zinchenko to kind of fill in here and there.
Yeah.
Do I think he can start every game?
Probably not. Yeah.
But I think he's against a team like Leicester where you know they're going to hit you on the break. You've got to put in someone who's a little bit more defensively sound.
Yeah.
But Laporte was on the bench, so hopefully he'll be back
for the Leeds game
next week.
Could probably use him for the Leeds game, to be honest.
Probably use him in the Leeds game, and that's another team who's just going to try to hit us on the break.
Pacey forwards. I mean, they play the same way as Leicester, to be honest. So.
Right. And high so press. This, I think they have to realize with, you know, guys being out at the beginning of the year, they might have to play with Sterling as a false nine for a few more games because Jesus is out now.
Injury?
Injured, yeah. He got injured, I think, against Wolves. So with both strikers out and knowingly having to play a false nine, essentially, unless you're going to go with this young kid, DeLapp, who scored in the Carabao Cup, you have to make sure that you're sound at the back because you're missing pieces up front.
Yeah.
And are you still good enough and have enough depth to get the job done? Yes. But you have to realize you're bad at the back. You are bad. Yeah. Use the word bad. Not mediocre, bad.
Yeah.
Bad at the back. Tell yourselves, we're bad at the back. We need to, accommodate a little bit more for our back line, especially with guys out.
Yeah.
And that's how you're going to have to approach this first half of the season.
I think that's the thing with Pep also. Like, he just keeps trying to do this, like, his, like, the style.
A little too stubborn.
A little too stubborn with the way he plays. And I think he needs to, I'm not saying, like, deviate away from like your play style, but I think he really does need to, like you said, accommodate for the defense when they play teams like this.
Yeah,
because you're right. I mean,
look at the Leon game.
I mean, I mean, the same exact thing. And I think Pep tries to like be too smart about things. Like
he
overthinks it. And the simple thing is, you know what? We're bad at defense. Let's try to accommodate. Like, let's try to accommodate our team so that our defense isn't as shit. I mean, it's what you have to do, you know? It's what you need to do.
And I'm not saying I have the magic solution tactically, but, I mean, here's one example. Mm. You're in the attack. You're pushing into the attacking third. Maybe you send one wing back into the attacking third with the attack, but you hold back maybe two midfielders instead of just holding back Fernandinho or Rodri.
Yeah.
Maybe you hold two people back.
Yeah.
You have enough creativity in your attack where you can create with the guys you have up there, with and be able to leave an extra person, you know, sitting in the middle third, sitting at the halfway line.
Yeah.
Because time and time again, this team gets caught out on the break, and it's a time they learned their lesson. And be willing to tweak something in their tactics when they go forward to make them less vulnerable
in the bank
when they get countered. I mean, that's how I see it. I'm not saying I'm smarter than Pep, but, you know, I think he needs to look at things a little bit harder when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, or maybe at least spend a little bit more time defensively. Yeah. But Leicester are a good team. They show it time and time again.
I don't think they were that good, though. I like 5-2 good.
Leicester being good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I liked the Castan guy that Leicester brought in. I thought he played really well. And then Jamie Vardy. I mean, he scores a ton of goals against City all the time.
Yeah.
And the mind-boggling thing to me is on the penalties that he was drawing, it's like simple things. You know, you have to get goal side of him. You're letting him get inside of you.
Yeah.
And he's quick. He's fast.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get your feet tangled up and take him down. Think about how many penalty kicks that guy has scored. Think about it.
A ton.
I mean, shit.
Ton.
A ton of penalty kicks. These are things that, you know, you go over in film and you say, hey, Kyle Walker, Mendy, pinch in a little bit so he's not on your inside shoulder, because then you're having to turn and more likely you're going to take him down.
Yeah.
But I was a defender all my life. I think that's common sense to me, but what do I know? Anyway, that's enough for that game. Very frustrating, but still early. So we'll see if they can fix that shit. Bruce, briefly, Spurs robbed of 3 points basically against Newcastle with VAR handball. I tweeted it out over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Something needs to be done about the handball rule. It needs to be revised even further.
I don't think that was that wasn't a handball. I mean, how was that play again? I was trying to remember the replay. It was
got
like
served in on a set piece. Someone headed the ball, and I think it was Eric Dier, like, went up in the air and, you know, jumped with his hands in a natural position.
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, you can't jump with your hands.
Yeah.
And it hit him in the arm. And, yes, it was a little bit extended from his body, but it was like in a natural position.
But it's not like he – because I'll tell you, the one they gave United, or I think it was – I don't know who the person was that had the handball. I think it was Mape. But his hand like went forward like towards the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But like you're right, Eric Dier kind of just had his hands it was a normal.
A classic. We don't hear it enough anymore. The classic ball to hand.
Yeah.
You know, where Han is in a natural position, number one. The distance between the ball or the distance between the initial contact and the hand is so short, you have no chance to react. And I think those are two huge things that needs to be taken a harder look at, because what is Eric Dyer supposed to do in that situation?
I mean, yeah, you can't.
His hand is in a natural position. He has no opportunity to move it.
I mean, you might as well just tell the defenders to chop their hands off. So they don't have, so there's no,
there's no motion of the arm to, like, where it's swinging towards the ball.
Yeah.
Or no to, like, where it's, like, trying to block the ball, where I've seen that before, where people kind of move their body in a way to where it hits their hand. But that, none of that applies in this situation. And there was one in the Everton game as well where I think Richarlison got a penalty for it, and the ball was headed into someone's path, and the guy it was going towards, he was offside. He was offside. But it hit someone's hand along the way, and they gave it. So I think that is ridiculous as well, but I just wanted to touch on that briefly because I thought Spurs got robbed.
Mourinho's pissed.
I can only imagine. Even Steve Bruce, after the game for Newcastle, was saying, like, something needs to be done. We'll take the point and everything, but we know it was lucky, and it was a gift for us.
There you go.
I think that's saying a lot.
That's that, yeah, that does. Because usually coaches don't say shit.
Yeah, right. They'll just go take it on the hand and move
whatever.
On.
Whatever. But anyways, Spurs got robbed, so they tied 1-1. Quick, I mean, we don't need to talk about this game, but West Ham beat the shit out of Wolves 4-0.
Did not see that coming.
I
don't know what happened to Wolves in that game.
I don't know what happened to Wolves, but they got the shit beat out of them. And West Ham aren't even that good.
Nelson Semedo was in the side, too.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. I forgot that he made that move from Barca.
Yeah.
Wolves is the new Portugal national team, I suppose, now. So.
I suppose so.
Another one, Leeds beat Sheffield 1-0. Sheffield not looking like the same team they were last year.
No.
Which is disappointing. But
I
think they'll turn it around, but I kind of saw this coming. I don't think they're going to have the same run they did last year.
Yeah, they'll definitely finish lower. But then getting into today, Monday, Fulham are getting relegated. I tweeted it out today when they were playing. I have never been more certain about.
I mean, if you lose 3-0 to Aston Villa.
Yeah. And they were, oh my gosh, were they bad. Like, they just like schoolboy defending on some of the goals.
I don't even think Fulham's going to get 20 points this season.
I mean, they have shown nothing.
No, they're I think if anything they're worse than West Brom, and West Brom's pretty bad.
Yeah, Fulham are getting relegated. Aston Villa 2-0. Who would have thunk it? But then the big one today: Liverpool 3, Arsenal 1. I don't necessarily think Arsenal played bad in this one. I know you were at work, so you didn't
really watch it too much.
But I honestly think Arsenal were bad. I still don't understand why David Luiz ever starts. The Gabriel guy played very well, I thought, the first in Arsenal's first couple games. Why is David Luiz all of a sudden in the side against literally the best team in the league?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're just kind of like easing him into the team or something. I have no idea. David Luiz is ass water, though. So
I mean, he showed it again on Liverpool's first goal. Committed a foul, but the referee waved play on and then trotted back and was basically complaining about the fact that he was going to give the foul instead of hustling back, and he was caught out of position and
they scored.
But pretty comfortable, I think, overall for Liverpool. I mean, they gave up the first goal, but they bounced back 2 minutes later. Robertson ended up scoring as well, and every year for the last couple of years now, and as they've had this team longer and longer, I realize how far better their fullbacks are than anyone else in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Trent and Robertson are just head and shoulders above anyone else's
I think if it wasn't for their fullbacks, they couldn't play the way they do.
Oh, absolutely not. No, you're right.
I don't think I've ever seen. I mean, you know what I compare these fullbacks to? Danny Alves prime Barcelona.
Danny Alves on one side,
but for both sides, Liverpool is how good they are. Right. If I had to like compare it to something,
it'd probably be
Danny Alves prime Barcelona because I think Trent's a little sus on defense, but he makes up for it in terms of his attack, which is fine. But like Danny Alves, bro, I mean, like they get assists, they get goals, dude, they get up there. And that's why they don't really need any center attacking mids in that in that midfield because their outside backs do a lot of the attack and the assists.
It seems like every game, at least one of them has a part in a goal, it's a goal, the goal itself, or an assist. Yeah. I mean, in this game, Trent had an assist, Robertson had a goal, and they assisted each other on the second goal.
Yeah, so I can't think of any. I mean, the only people I can maybe think that's close to it is maybe like Alphonso Davies, who has like that potential.
Alphonso Davies and Kimmich, maybe.
And Kimmich, maybe. But other than that, dude, like, yeah, I mean.
But I mean, I was strictly talking in the Premier League.
Premier League, no one else
comes
close to
that. I mean, I think about City's outside backs. I think of United's. I mean, I think of every team in the top six.
Yeah, no one comes
Nobody's come close.
No. And for so cheap.
Yeah, Robertson came from freaking Hull City.
Yeah, and Trent came from the academy, right?
Yeah.
Look at that.
I mean, they've built a squad in the best way possible. When they need to spend, they don't overspend. They have smart buys. They've groomed people from the academy. They're really the only guy that they spent a ton of money on was Van Dijk and
it was worth it.
And Allison.
And it was worth it. Both were worth it.
Both were really fucking worth it. Joe Gomez, I believe.
And look at United, $80 million on Slabhead.
Slabhead, yeah. But Mane and Salah came from Roma for, like, I don't know, 40 million.
Something just average.
30, 40 million. I mean.
Now, each person's market value has, like, doubled or tripled.
Yeah.
Depending on how much they bought them for. It's just, like, it's insane. But you're right, dude. Those outside backs are nasty as fuck, and I'm super jealous.
And I'll give them this as well, to specifically Trent and Rabo. No injuries, hardly ever.
No, they're fit. They play like every game.
I'm not wishing an injury on anybody, but I mean, they're like always fit, can always play the 90 game in, game out, even when the schedules start to get congested and they get in Champions League and stuff like that. And that's saying a lot, because, I mean,
they're probably super
even
professional.
City rotate their fullbacks a lot. Zinchenko's play is there. Cancelo comes in once in a while. But when it's in the league, Liverpool are always Robertson, Trent. The occasional Milner if
need be.
Absolutely needed. But, credit where credit is due. The dudes are incredible in the attack. Always healthy.
Yep, and that Jota buy,
huge part of how they play.
That Diogo Jota buy was nice also.
I thought they overpaid for him, or I don't think they overpaid, but I guess I'll just say I was surprised by how much they paid. But he is, I think he fits their system well, I can understand the buy. But yeah, that'll do it for the Prem. I want to touch on the other three big leagues before we get to the extra touches, real quick. I watched Serie A a little bit this weekend. My boys at Roma were playing Juve, so I had to tune into that one. Juve don't look that good to me.
No.
And, and Roma really didn't make any big signings in the offseason, and they should have won this game, honestly. They were up a man. They were up a goal as well. Ronnie, taking it upon himself to basically get Juve a point in this game. But, yeah, Juve not convincing to me. I know I probably said it last year as well, but I think this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year someone else comes in and finally wins Serie A.
Could.
Whether it's Inter, Atalanta, somebody's going to snatch it this year.
I hope so.
I don't think Juve did enough with their side, and I'm not going to say right out the gate that I think Pirlo's a bad coach, but I don't think he's going to be what they need.
No, it was a little. I think it was kind of a sus kind of appointment. I don't know. I think I just feel like they didn't want to spend money on a big manager, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like.
Yeah, so I wanted to hit on that for Serie A, just that I don't think Juve has enough in the tank this year, and I think it's been, you know, the gap has been closing recently. I mean, a few years ago Juve was winning by, I don't know, 15, 20 points, it seemed like.
Around,
but now,
yeah,
it was tightened a little bit 2 years ago. The gap could tighten a little bit more last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this year could be the year, or it'll be an actual race all the way to the end, whereas Lazio petered out last year right after the restart. Mm-hmm. And then in Bundesliga, Bayern got actually spanked.
Yeah, what was
by
it?
By Hoffenheim.
5-1?
4-1.
4-1.
But Dortmund also lost, so... And I actually watched the Dortmund game.
Dortmund,
so I wanted to see Gio Reyna play. They did not look good.
Dortmund's dropping points against ass, like not ass team,
yeah,
but like
Augsburg
lower teams.
Augsburg is not a good
side. They're dropping hella points. Yeah, I don't know. And like they didn't really lose anybody, right? Sancho's still there, obviously. Like all these guys are still there. So
what I will say about Dortmund, I know their big thing is like the youth movement,
mm-hmm,
bring in a lot of youth. But I think they need to maybe take it back a step or two. And not necessarily in terms of the youth that they bring in, but maybe allocate their playing time a little bit differently and bring in maybe one or two more experienced guys that you know can help take you or at least close the gap between yourself and Bayern and give you more of a shot of winning the title. Don't get me wrong. I want to see Gio Reyna be as successful as ever. I want to see Jude Bellingham, who came from fucking Birmingham City, be as successful as ever. But are they going to help them win a title? There's no chance.
No, they definitely need
Not
some.
Not at that stage in their careers.
No.
At age 17, 18 years old.
They need... They definitely need some more experienced players in the mid and especially on defense, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing Emre Can as a center back.
And, like, like you said, dude, like, I mean, it's cool that they sign young players and, you know, they breed them, but, like, now they're just getting, that's all really they're known for now, right? Like, no one really expects them to make a title challenge. No one really expects them to win anything anymore, you know?
Right.
Like, remember when they made it, like, was it 5-6 years ago when they made it to the finals in the
mm-hmm.
Champions League? Like, where's that? You know, now you don't, now it's just like, oh, good, like, they make good players, but those players are going to leave. Like, you know, like do you expect Haaland, Sancho, Bellingham, Reyna to stay there? No, right? You expect them to stay there for 2-3 years, and then they leave. And,
yeah, and I get that you want to be a bit of a selling club, but if you're not replacing those players with like-for-likes, I mean, you kind of replace Lewandowski with
Haaland.
With Haaland, and Sancho's been amazing for them.
Yeah.
But, I mean... You're still losing players year after year, and you're not compensating for that. You're not strengthening the overall squad enough
mm-hmm.
to where you can keep up with Bayern, who we saw last year. I mean, it's a tall task to keep up with them, and you're going to be if you have the ambition, you're going to need to be doing more than what you are.
Yeah, that's. I think there's a fine line between being a selling club and also having ambition to win things. And the Dortmund is known for winning stuff, right, Lee? I mean, if I'm correct, right? The fans are used to winning
and
stuff.
And I think from a fan's perspective,
I'm
sure they enjoy having youth guys in their squad and grooming these young players, but they want to challenge for stuff.
You want to fucking win shit. Like,
yeah.
You don't want to just be like, oh, well, you know, like someone says, like, you know, we won the league, and then you're like, well, we have Sancho.
We had fun watching these young players
play. Like, no, that's like, let's be honest. That's fucking boring. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, fuck.
It's
like,
not enough.
It's not
I
enough.
I wouldn't say it's boring. It's just.
It's
not
like
enough.
No, sorry. Boring's not the right word. It's just like you said. It's not enough. I wouldn't say it's boring. It's fun to watch these guys, but it's just not enough. You want to win shit. You don't want to just have good young players. You want to have good young players and win shit.
Right.
I like both.
Be done.
That can be done. Look at Ajax. Ajax, I mean, obviously, it's in a maybe a little worse league, but, you know, I think they probably have it down a little bit better than Dortmund, I think.
Yeah.
In terms
I agree.
Of that. So.
I agree. So that was my thoughts on the Bundesliga. David Wagner also got sacked from Schalke it's probably been long overdue.
Yeah, Schalke's.
They
lost to Werder Bremen, right?
They've given up 11 goals in their first two games. Scored one. were atrocious at the second half of last year. They lost Weston McKennie, have signed basically nobody. They're going to be in trouble.
Holy shit, you're
right. Oh, and then I tweeted this out also. A American coach coaches for Stuttgart, got them promoted last year. He got his first Bundesliga win. I can't even think of his name. He's an Italian guy from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Mauricio Pellegrino or Matarazzo or something. I don't know. But congrats to him. He's on our Twitter if you need reference. I tweeted that out last weekend. So, and then
La Liga.
La Liga. Ansu Fati, I know, had a couple goals this weekend.
Yeah, too. Suarez left for Atletico Madrid.
That's an interesting one. I think Atletico
looked pretty good.
Made good signings this year. Better attacking signings than they have in the past, where they actually might be more exciting to watch this year. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye out for them.
They got Luis Suarez. I think Yannick Carrasco came back also. Who else they get? Who else was of note? I think it was just Sosa.
They kept João Felix, City were interested in him, which I would have loved that. And they still have Diego Costa. Angel Correa, Yannick Carrasco. They have enough, a little bit more attacking pieces, I think this year.
That Luis Suarez one helps a ton.
It does. And he came on as a sub, and I think he got a goal and an assist or something.
Two goals and an assist. So he beasted. I don't know why Barca got rid of him. That's another story, too. I don't know if you saw the...
I know Messi was not happy.
I don't know if you saw that post. He kind of pretty much called out Barca. And then,
And
then Neymar comments on the post saying, I don't know why they do stuff like this or something like along those lines. It's kind of funny. Barca's a shit show right now.
They are. And, I mean, they went on the weekend, but it'll be interesting to see how they are in the long run of this year. Sergiño Dest, I also heard while we're on Barca.
Yeah.
Is going with Barca.
Okay. Probably a smart move.
Especially with the departure of Semedo. Sergi Roberto started at right back against Villarreal this weekend, but I can see Dest getting some playing time. I mean,
yeah. Definitely could probably even be a starter.
They're not necessarily deep at the back, so that will be awesome to see him hopefully get some time there. All right. I think that's all I really got for league play.
Same here.
Time for my favorite part of the show, the extra touches. For those of you who have either maybe new listeners who are not familiar, extra touches are little things that we like to put in at the end. Weren't big enough for a whole segment. We thought they were funny, interesting, just little things that we saw from throughout the week. And the last couple episodes, we really haven't had many.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I need to go out of my way to try to find some this week, and I found plenty. So, where do I start? I'll start with the smallest one first. Ryan Reynolds, the guy who plays Deadpool, he is thinking about buying a team, an English team called Wrexham. They're in the...
Wrexham?
Wrexham? they're in, I think that would be the... fifth tier, like the National League, I think it's called.
Okay.
But they've been around a really long time, and him and another celebrity, I can't think of the other guy's name, I heard they're actually close to buying the team, and they're a small team, so I imagine they're not costing an arm and a leg. Very random team to buy if you were going to be a celebrity and had the money to spend, but so I heard that this week. And actually, it was on Business Insider. I think it came up on Business Insider, of all places. So that was interesting. Also, there was the first woman female head ref in an MLS game this week for the Nashville-Houston game.
Yep.
So you always like to see that. We've had, I know there's been ARs, female ARs recently, but this was the first time a woman officiated an MLS game, so top-level game in the United States. So that was cool to see. And then we've got this one here. I thought this was a joke, honestly.
I know.
FC Emmen. FC Emmen in the Dutch League. They had their kit sponsor as, I think it was called Easy Toys. Easy Toys. Care to guess what Easy Toys is all about?
I'm going to go with... It is. They are in the business of toys for adults who want to pleasure themselves.
Ding, ding, ding. Correct. They are, for lack of a better word, sex toys. They produce sex toys, and FC Emmen was going to have that as their shirt sponsor for this year. And they actually went as far as blowing up inflatable
legs or something?
Women legs, female legs, on the outside of their stadium. And I guess that was something that the Easy Toys provided them with to promote the new sponsor.
So then, when you're when you're walking in the stadium, it's like you're walking into their to the coochie. Is
right,
much.
Right. Okay. They put it right by the entrance, and it was right. It's like walking into the coochie.
It's stupid.
stick your face in it. And what gets better is their reasoning for wanting to go with Easy Toys was to try to eliminate the stigma that people have about sex toys. Like the negative stigma. They thought that by maybe entering into business with a professional club that, you know, they would have like some more positive PR going towards the idea and the concept of sex toys. I mean, if for anyone who Emmen is not in Amsterdam, but for anyone who's been to Amsterdam, we know it can get freaky over there. So it doesn't surprise me that it happened in the Dutch league. And I actually think the league is trying to file charges against them to where they cannot have that as a shirt sponsor. I don't know where
the
things
line
are at
is
with
drawn.
That. But
fuck that, man.
Yeah, let them be.
Let them be. Doesn't be. I'm sure Pornhub doesn't. Don't they sponsor a team also or something like that? Maybe.
I don't know if they sponsor a professional team.
But I've seen it like on.
I wouldn't rule it out.
I've seen it in, like Sunday League shit, like you know, Pornhub shirts or something.
So that I thought that one was hilarious, and we'll share that one on Twitter this week, so you can all read about it. But yeah, FC Emmen of the Dutch League trying to have a sex toy sponsor as their front kit promotion basically. Another one which I saw from Europa League qualification, you probably saw this one as well. The Spurs, Tottenham Hotspurs, had to travel to like Macedonia or somewhere crazy, and this team from Macedonia, don't even know what their team name is, but there's some little tried to be some snakes in the grass, and they shrunk the goals. So the goals were actually too small and were not regulation-sized dimensions. So there's actually a picture of Jose Mourinho standing in the goal and with his arm up, showing that they're about, I think it's 5 centimeters too short. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know if you guys see that one
that's
at all.
So, yeah, I think I remember reading that. That's so...
That's so Europa League.
That's so Europa League, man. When you go like in these random-ass like countries and teams, like it's just... It's like you're not even, well, it's like, you know what I compare it to? Maybe it's not as bad, but like in the CONCACAF when you go to like these like foreign countries or some
little
island countries and it's just like the fields are shit and like everything's just messed up. Maybe not as bad, but it kind of reminds me of that. It just makes me chuckle.
Yeah, so that happened to Spurs in Europa League. I believe they still won the game, but Joe Hart, I believe, brought it to Jose Mourinho's attention that the goals were too small. So not something you hear every day. What else do I got? Oh, I also thought this was a joke. FA Cup is in the very preliminary rounds right now, with all the like Sunday League teams, you know, going up against each other. And there apparently is a team in the 9th tier. There are 9 tiers in England, at least 9 tiers. They're called hashtag United. The word hashtag United. And their logo is a hashtag.
United.
Yeah. And I think they definitely caught a lot of people's attention because they have 213,000 followers on Twitter. Picture a Sunday League team, our Sunday League team. So picture our Sunday League team making a Twitter and having that many followers.
You get at least like 10,000 people to come to their games.
Yeah, their ground holds like 2,000 people.
And it's packed probably.
And I think only 250 seats, but then the rest is standing room.
Oh, okay.
But they won in penalties against some other lower league team. And now they play Braintree Town in the next round of the FA Cup.
beast.
Which I think they're like sixth tier, so they're playing a team three tiers above them. So,
hey, man.
Hey.
Maybe they can make it far.
So get on the hashtag United bandwagon.
Imagine if they won the FA Cup.
Bunch of guys who know nobody does this for money. It's just beer bunny, and that's it.
That's a dream, man. Honestly, that's a Cinderella story.
But you can find them on Wikipedia, and it's they have a chairman, and have
it's legit.
It's like an official club. It's just it's ninth just tier, and it's semi-pro. It comes up as on Wikipedia, semi-pro team.
Yeah, I forgot. At one point, it's considered pro. I think it's like after like the seventh tier or sixth tier.
Yeah, I've
there's so many tiers in English
football.
It's
mind-boggling that there's so many teams in England.
Makes you think like all the stadiums like where the Premier League, cuz you think like Premier League stadiums like in London, all these big teams, but like also there's like all these other tiers that are in the same area. Mm-hmm. There's probably a football stadium like every fucking block when you think about it.
Yeah, you could just be driving through England and just stumble upon, you know, Morecambe United or
Wickham Wanderers.
Chesterfield, Wickham Wanderers, who knows?
Anywhere, bro.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
That is cool. Yeah. That is cool. You got any, or you want me to keep going?
Nah, keep going, man. Yeah, I don't have any off the top of my head, so you're doing a good job.
In the Estonian League, Estonia, we're going all over the place with these extra touches. In the Estonian League, there's kind of something similar, I think, in Mexico, the Mexican League. There's a rule in place where you have to have X amount of kids under the age of 23 on the field, or homegrown kids. So so I think it's three for the Estonian League. You have to have three. So it's this team in Estonia. I don't have to look it up. I don't know the team name off the top of my head, but they had a 18-year-old kid on that was homegrown. apparently, they kicked the ball off, and the center forward booted the ball out of bounds, and they subbed him off. So they just started the kid to abide by the rules, and then they booted the ball out of bounds, and they immediately subbed him off.
Oh, that's fucking...
And he was already standing by the sideline, because I think he knew like that was part of the game plan.
Oh, well, that's ass.
That's kicking the nuts, if you ask me. But that happened in the Estonian League, so I don't know if anyone follows the Estonian League, but hey, there's a rule. You learn something. That X amount of kids basically have to be on the field.
That's hilarious.
I think that's it. I think that's all I got.
Shout out to the Fire.
Shout out to the Fire. Back-to-back wins. They didn't disappoint us this weekend. Hopefully we can go for three in a row next week against Montreal. MLS has been interesting.
Get us that elusive playoff spot that we desperately want and need.
Yes, we're in the 10th of 10 playoff spots right now, which is a special extension for this anomaly of a year. There's not usually that many playoff spots, but shit, we'll take it if it comes to it.
I'll fucking take it.
Yeah.
Inject it in my veins.
So hopefully they can keep it rolling.
Let's talk about how shit Inter Miami is.
Oh, God. Speaking of Inter Miami, Gonzalo Higuain made his debut yesterday.
You're right. He skied a PK, and then he got in a fight right after with the players because they made fun of him for missing the PK.
Yeah, they got in his face like, Bill, big guy, big shot coming in here, missing a penalty in MLS, huh?
And Higuain.
And,
I can imagine just in his, like, Hispanic accent, you don't know what you're saying. You're just like, he's going, fuck you.
Yeah, so he actually also hit the post on a bicycle kick attempt.
Higuain, a bicycle?
Yeah. That Chobolowski making.
He got his inner Ronaldo.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He saw him do it at Juve all the time, so he's like, shit, I can do it here.
Hey, Chicharito can relate to him, man. They're both
ass.
They're both, I think, going to realize this is not as easy as they thought it was going to be to score goals over here.
No, I think they're in their minds, they're retired already, honestly. I don't know what the hell's going on with them.
Yeah, Inter Miami's been disappointing. LA Galaxy have been disappointing, both at the bottom of their tables in their respective conferences.
LAFC.
Blaise Matuidi is on Inter Miami now as well. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I saw that.
He has been very okay, I've heard. Hasn't, like, hit the ground running, really. But, man, I mean, Beckham brought in some old guys. He brought in some old guys. Pizarro hasn't really done much. The Fire were after him for a little while, and he has been underwhelming as well. So a lot of guys coming over and realizing it's, you know, not a walk in the park, to say the least.
No, and it just probably just comes down to mentality, too, right? What kind of mentality do you have when you come come over here. So
the MLS is fun to watch, man. Yeah. It's fun to watch. It may not be nearly at the level that, you know, some of the European leagues are at, but it's still fun to watch.
True.
I mean, for an example, San Jose Earthquakes beat the LAFC last night, who have also been very underwhelming without Carlos Vela. San Jose lost their last, like, two, three games. They gave up, like, an average of 3 or 4 goals a game, and then they beat LAFC. Like, think about that. Like, only in MLS.
Yep.
They have 39 goals against. Holy shit.
It's a lot of goals against.
I think it might be the most in the league, to be honest. Yeah.
It has to be the most
in
the league.
It is. 39, dude.
They lost, like, a game, like, 6-0, 4-0, and they beat LAFC.
God, that's fucking ass. So,
congrats to them. MLS things. But, yeah, I think that'll do it for this week. Lots to talk about from the weekend. Lots of good extra touches for the ages. So, if you made it this far, thanks for tuning in. For those who have always been loyal listeners, thanks for listening. Any new listeners, thanks for tuning in. If you haven't followed us on Twitter already, @golden_goalpod, we're still pretty active on there, especially with my ass working from home all the time, getting to watch all these games. It's been nice. But until next time, thanks for listening.
Peace out, guys.
I know you could have been a wonder, taking your circus to the sky. You couldn't take it.